I doubt if anyone looks forward to going to the dentist. Most of us find it a rather unnerving experience at the best of times. But when dentists open their doors after many weeks of shutdown, the experience is going to be considerably more unnerving than it was before. The government and the dental governing bodies in the UK have together created a nightmare scenario which will scare the living daylights out of even the most robust of patients and put most dentists out of business well before Christmas. Dentists will have to spend a fortune obeying the new laws, and they may well be forced to see around a third of the patients that they saw before. More expenditure and less income doesn't sound like much of a business plan to me, especially when dentists have been shut for months and not earning any money. There will not, I suspect, be any time for preserving teeth or for the dental and gum care we've been so long warned is an essential part of looking after our mouths. Long-term dental care in Britain is about to hit a bad few decades. If international air travel ever becomes possible again, everyone will be able to identify the Brits by their rotten teeth. Most of us don't spend too much time feeling sorry for dentists, but it's time to start. Here's the plan. These are the rules that dentists have been told they must follow if they plan to reopen their practices on the 15th of June. And if the barking mad quartet from that wonderful movie The Dream Team had sat down with the Marx Brothers, they couldn't possibly have dreamt up a dafter, more absurdly chaotic scheme than the one that dentists will describe as their new normal. I hate that phrase, new normal. It may be new, but there's nothing normal about it. Nothing at the moment seems normal. And it never will be, unless we have some big changes. Apparently dentists are going to have to follow official government advice from the chief dental officer. I honestly didn't know we had one of those, but I'm told there are individual chief dental officers for all the UK's main regions, and I have no doubt that they're all well equipped with deputies, assistants and the usual platoons of administrative staff. The formal advice hasn't been issued yet, or hadn't when I recorded this, though it's only a week or so to go before opening day. But the guidance available, predictably entitled Standard Operating Procedures for Return to Dental Practice, will give dentists enough information on policies and procedures for them to start planning. So here's what I am assured will be the new normal as far as dentistry is concerned. Could the administrators who've thought up all this crap be unaware that dentists have for years been accustomed to using procedures which protect them and other patients from infectious diseases such as AIDS and hepatitis? Of course they couldn't be unaware of that. But then, this is the new flu we're talking about. Back in May, I reported that I'd heard a rumour that the government was going to force dentists to see no more than one patient an hour. And now it appears that that rumour may well have been true. Dentists working in the NHS have to see a huge number of patients to make a living, and I honestly can't see any NHS dentists managing to survive these rules and regulations. I have a suspicion that getting rid of NHS dentistry was part of the deliberate planned reset of our society. And unless they quadruple their fees, I can't see many private dentists surviving either. Those who obey all the new laws simply won't be able to see enough patients to earn a living. Those who don't obey the laws, and if you can get in trouble for something, it's not a rule, it's a law. Those who don't obey the new laws will doubtless be defrocked, desmocked, or whatever it is they do to naughty dentists these days. To start with, of course, dentists will be giving priority treatment to patients who've had untreated dental emergencies during the last 3 months. I can't imagine what it must have been like to have had toothache for 3 months. Unfortunately, dentists have been told that they can't use procedures which generate aerosols. So they can't use the drill. This means that they can't do fillings or use ultrasonic scalers to clean teeth. One assumes, therefore, that teeth with enough decay to be painful will have to be removed. If they can't be drilled and filled, what on earth else are they going to do? The tooth fairy is going to have a busy future, and the denture-making industry is set to boom. Patients who are in the high-risk groups are advised to delay routine dental treatment as long as possible. I'm not sure what high-risk groups are today, but they have at various times included transplant patients, anyone over the age of 70, anyone living with someone over the age of 70. Male black diabetics who are bald and overweight should be top of the list of the risk groups, but no one likes to say that in case it sounds racist or fattist or some ist. So here's the protocol, as they love to say these days. You need to see the dentist? First you ring and make an appointment. Nothing new there. But this isn't going to be quite as easy as it used to be, and you'll see why in a few minutes. 3 days before your appointment date, the dentist will email you a medical history questionnaire, a COVID-19 screening questionnaire, and a consent form which you have to fill out and return via email so that all your private information goes online and is readily available for hackers to steal. If you don't have access to email, you're stuffed. But no one ever said life was fair. No one seems to understand in the government that several million people in Britain don't have a computer, a mobile phone, or any idea what email is. Pigeon keeping and pigeon racing is one of the most popular sports and pastimes in Britain, and it did occur to me that maybe dentists could be persuaded to allow their patients without computers to use pigeon mail. It would make as much sense as anything else, but then I realised that no one's allowed to use bits of paper anymore, so the pigeons are out. To go back to reality, dentists may also carry out a video consultation prior to their appointment. I don't know how they do that, especially with people like me who haven't got the faintest idea to do anything video with a mobile phone or a computer. These videos are made not by me. If the dentist doesn't receive all the completed forms on time, then they're almost certainly cancel the appointment, and you'll have to go to the back of the queue. And because of all the complications and the fact that dentists are only going to see one patient an hour or thereabouts, the queues are going to be very long, and making an appointment is going to be very difficult. The day before your appointment, you'll be contacted again by your dentist to discuss the forms that you've completed. This is going to be so exciting. If you or anyone in your household has caught or developed any one of the 3,933 symptoms so far thought to be possibly associated with the coronavirus, you'll be asked to postpone your appointment. But if you have a real emergency, then if you can convince someone that you'll kill yourself if you're not treated, you'll be referred to one of the urgent dental care hubs, which, from what I've heard, will probably be 600 miles away and shut. But hey-ho, no one ever said life was fair, and this is, after all, the new normal in the toothless land of Comrade Boris. Doris. You'll be asked to pay in advance for your treatment, because you won't be able to pay with cash, because cash, as we all know now, is dirty and kills people, and the banks don't like it. If you don't have a suitable means of paying over the internet or by telephone, then it's hard luck again, and you'll have to resort to the old piece of string and the door handle solution. Things now start to get exciting. Before you leave home for your appointment, you are advised by the government to ensure that you have cleaned your teeth, drunk plenty of fluids, and been to the loo. They don't tell you, by the way, to put on a clean vest. I would have thought that was important. This assumes, of course, that everyone lives next door to the dentist. Anyone unfortunate enough to have to travel for an hour to reach their dentist will probably find that it's impossible to be fully hydrated and not need the loo on arrival. As you set off on this wondrous adventure, you should take only essential items with you, and you should attend your appointment on your own unless you can't stand up without support. You should make sure that you wear extra layers of clothing because the surgery will be colder than usual as air conditioning is used to replace the air in the room at regular intervals. The dentist and his nurse, who have to spend all day in the cold air, will presumably wear thick sweaters and overcoats under their protective clothing, but will nevertheless be forever falling ill with colds and having to take 2 weeks off work. It's well known that air conditioning causes breathing problems, dry skin and constant tiredness. It also tends to exacerbate all existing illnesses. But we are, of course, fighting the flu-y thing here, so we have to do everything we can. The dentist's front door will be locked, and when you arrive, you have to stand outside and telephone and let the receptionist know that you've arrived. If you don't have a mobile phone or your phone battery is dead, then you are what doctors call buggered. But who said life was fair? You could, I suppose, just stand outside and shout and hope somebody hears you. No, sorry, that won't work, because when the dentist's ready for you, as you wait outside, hopefully in your car, they'll telephone you to say that there are no other patients in the reception area, and so you can safely enter the building. If you're travelling by public transport, then you have to let the dentist know in advance that you're travelling by public transport so that special arrangements can be made for you to wait inside the building in some safe portion of the building. I'm not, I promise you, making this up. These are the rules for going to the dentist. Once you have been telephoned to confirm that Elvis has safely left the building and you can safely enter the building, a receptionist or a nurse will unlock the door to let you in. She or he will be wearing personal protective equipment, including a mask and a visor. Don't jump out of the car and expect to be let in soon, however, because there'll have to be a delay after the departure of one patient and the arrival of another, because the staff will have to disinfect all common areas, including door handles and all surfaces between patients. You can see now why they're only going to manage one patient an hour, if they're lucky. Once you get into the now sterile surgery premises, floor markings will enable you to make sure that you obey social distancing requirements. You'll be asked to put all your belongings, including your coat and any bag you are carrying, into a large box in the reception area, and you will be asked to sanitize your hands. If you aren't already wearing one, you will be offered a mask to wear. Exhausted by now, you will be taken into the surgery, which will have been thoroughly disinfected and cleaned after the last patient. If this farce continues beyond the summer, most dentists will either be planning to emigrate or looking for some other form of employment. Once you're in the surgery, the dentist and the dental nurse will both be smothered in protective equipment. There will be no shaking of hands. You will be asked to keep your mask in place until the dentist is ready to start sticking his or her gloved fingers into your mouth. As soon as the treatment is completed, you must sanitize your hands again and replace your mask. I don't quite know why the patient has to sanitize their hands after treatment, but this is what the government says we must do, and so we must all do as our government says. There won't be any jolly little chats afterwards with the dentist. If you need to discuss anything, the dentist will telephone you later when you are safely separated by some distance. Though maybe you should wear a mask and gloves and sanitize your hands before you receive the telephone call. I'm not sure about that. All things considered, I can't help wondering how many people will bother going to the dentist in future, and I wonder how many will choose instead to resort to the old trick of tying one end of a piece of string to the painful tooth and the other end to a door handle. Slamming the door half a dozen times to yank out the tooth will, to some, seem to be a darn sight easier than this crazy charade. Finally, as we trudge reluctantly into the government's carefully designed new normal, where the entire nation gradually becomes edentulous, we can perhaps take some small comfort from the knowledge that when we have lost all our teeth, we will be able to hide our empty mouths behind a mask. And perhaps that is, after all, what the mask wearing is all about. You won't see me anywhere other than here because I'm banned by all mainstream media, and I can't imagine why. I'm banned for the sin of having been proved right too many times about a whole range of contentious issues which have embarrassed governments and drug companies and so on. Please ask everyone you know to watch the videos or visit the website. We're fighting a war and we need to do everything we can to spread the word and persuade more sheep to change their minds. Thank you for watching An Old Man in a Chair, and thanks for all your support. I've not authorised any ads or sponsorship, although the government seems to put little ads at the bottom of a lot of my videos. I can't imagine. Presumably they're paying somebody, but they're not paying me. You can find more truths on a whole range of issues on my website, www.vernoncoleman.com. Which has no ads and sponsorship. And both the channel and the website are open 24 hours a day. I don't quite know how we do that. It's magic. If you want to see more videos from me, then please subscribe to my channel, because for curious reasons, they aren't always easy to find. And let's spread the truth as widely as we can. Thank you very much for watching.